On Wednesday, February 13th, a Polk County jury delivered an historic win for transgender rights in Iowa. Melissa Hasso, American Civil Liberties Union of Iowa cooperating attorney, is with the Sherinian and Hasso law firm. I asked her to introduce herself, since she played a major role in this case, and to tell us what the win was and how they gained it.
I am a private practice attorney, and I was the cooperating attorney with the ACLU on the case. When the ACLU tries cases, they'll often associate with a practicing attorney, a trial attorney, to actually go to trial with them.
Tell us what happened.
Well, our client, Jessie Brew, was a nurse at the Iowa Correctional Institute for Women in Mitchellville, and he'd worked there for about 6 years, and he had gender dysphoria, and during his employment there, began transitioning into living fully as the male that he always knew that he was. And he was going through the transition under the supervision of his physicians, and it was a medically necessary transition. And he had already been transitioning socially outside of work, but he decided it was time to start transitioning inside of work also. And as part of that transition process, he needed to start living fully as a man at work, which included requesting to use the men's restrooms and locker rooms. Unfortunately, his employer refused to allow him to use the men's restrooms and locker rooms and instead decided he would be segregated into a separate unisex bathroom and not be allowed to use the men's facilities at all. And so that's what brought this lawsuit about in regards to the restroom and locker room use.
If you said it was a necessary surgery, what does that mean exactly?
It was medically necessary that he fully transition to live as a male. In other words, people with gender dysphoria, their sense of gender internally and psychologically is misaligned with their gender that's assigned at birth. And so that creates a lot of mental health issues. And so as part of the treatment for gender dysphoria, in many cases, the physicians will recommend that the person transition to fully living as the gender that they know themselves to be. Without a full transition, many transgender people will experience significant mental health issues that can even lead to risk of life and suicide. So that's why it's so medically necessary that people who are transgender in need of full transition are supported in that transition process.
And what does the term gender dysphoria mean?
Well, gender dysphoria is essentially a misalignment of who the person feels that they are in terms of gender as opposed to what they were assigned at birth. So, for instance, if somebody is born with female parts and they're raised as a female and they're told you need to wear the female clothes and do female things, that can create a lot of discord in them mentally if inside they know that they are male and vice versa. So that leads to a lot of depression, anxiety, other mental health issues until that condition is diagnosed and treated by qualified medical professionals.
Why is this ruling historic?
It's historic because we simply have not had transgender rights litigation in Iowa, and this is the first case that has gone to trial where the issue was whether or not a transgender person is entitled to use the restrooms and locker rooms and other single-sex facilities that's consistent with their gender identity. And that's what the jury found, was that our client, who is transgender male, was entitled to use the men's facilities, and that denying him the use of those facilities was discriminatory under the Iowa Civil Rights Act.
The Iowa Civil Rights Act was amended in 2007.
Right. The actual language in the act itself is gender identity. Of course, transgender rights incorporates gender identity. And the jury actually found in our client's favor on both claims of sex discrimination and gender identity.
Sex discrimination was already there, but gender identity was new.
Gender identity was new to the act as of 2007, correct.
Mm-hmm. And so this was really the first test case in using this law.
As far as bathroom use, yes. There may have been various employment litigation, you know, whether it's settled or gone to trial in terms of discriminatory treatment at work, but this is a very specific issue in terms of the entitlement to use the single-sex facilities based on the gender identity of the individual at issue, and so that's what made this particular case so important. There was a second issue in the case as well. So Mr. Rue was a State of Iowa employee, and through his employment with the state, he was provided an employee health plan. And that particular plan had an exclusion written into it that specifically excluded gender reassignment surgery. And so this ties back into that concept of what people who are transgender need to fully treat their gender dysphoria, and many of those individuals need to have gender reassignment, or what we call gender-affirming surgery. And in Mr. Vrew's case, he was seeking to have top surgery like a mastectomy. And under the policy, people who needed mastectomy for reasons other than to treat gender dysphoria were covered for that procedure, but Mr. Vrew was denied benefits specifically because it was to treat gender dysphoria. And the jury also found that to be discriminatory under the Iowa Civil Rights Act.
You were successful on both counts. What is the result?
Mr. Vrew actually left state employment in late 2016 and moved on to another employer, and he has been able to undergo the top surgery that he needed. So Mr. Vrew is doing quite well, but one of the reasons he brought this lawsuit was not only to help himself, but help those that will follow him, because there are a lot of transgender Iowans that are going to face similar issues, and he wanted to make sure that this was brought to the forefront and that it was clear to employers what the law requires.
It was not an easy thing for him to do.
It has been a difficult road for him. It was a very brave thing for him to do, but we will also point out that his colleagues at the prison, not the administration that gave him the problems, but his colleagues were so supportive of him throughout the transition itself and throughout this litigation. And so we're very, very thankful to them and the support that they gave him. And we're also thankful to the jury in terms of being very open to understanding these issues and really grasping the nature of the discrimination at issue.
So in the end, there's really been a lot of validation for principal, but also the people involved.
Exactly. And that's just so important as we move forward on these issues.
What was the main defense of the, I guess we're talking about the Iowa Department of Corrections, is that right? They were the defendants?
That's right. On the bathroom use side, it was the Iowa Department of Corrections and the warden of the prison, who was Patty Wackendorf. And their defense was they were trying to balance Mr. Vrew's rights with the concerns of others. And the warden testified that she had received some complaints from other men who worked at the facility who did not want Mr. Vrew using the men's restrooms. She could name one of those complainants, and that complainant, the alleged complainant, testified under oath he never made that complaint. So the excuse that they presented at trial didn't bear out with the evidence. Not only that, even if people had complained, it's not a justification under Iowa law to discriminate against someone based on the concerns of others. And you can understand that by thinking about, you know, if somebody had issues working with somebody from a different race or a different gender, that's what the civil rights laws are designed to prevent, is discriminating against those people on those bases. So that's not a legal justification for discrimination. It's too bad if somebody else doesn't like somebody who is a different race or a different national origin or a different gender identity. They just need to deal with it because those people have rights under the law. Thankfully, in this case, that wasn't even the situation. Again, his colleagues were extremely supportive of him, both male and female. That was another very satisfying part of the case, is to see that kind of support for him. Now, what it requires.
And when in a lawsuit like this, is there compensation to the person suing, or what actually, other than having their rights reinstated, which in this case is really not an issue, are there other repercussions to employers when they lose a case like this?
Yes, definitely. The jury in this case did award Mr. Vrew $120,000 to compensate him for the emotional distress that the state's conduct caused him. So that definitely is a risk that employers face if and when they violate employees' rights under the Iowa Civil Rights Act.
Mm-hmm. Do you get the sense that it will be less likely that this type of discrimination will occur now that this precedent has been set by the court? Do these things tend to influence how employers behave?
We certainly hope that's the case. As I said, it's been the law since 2007, but as we repeatedly see with the state, they had not kept up to date with their training of staff, and they were not all aware that gender identity was a protected category here, you know, 10 years later or 11 years later. So we're hopeful that the publicity from this case will open the eyes of other employers so that they are aware of the issue and that they won't violate the law, either intentionally or unintentionally.
Now, this isn't protected in all states. So in what you're saying, I hear you saying that in this case, Iowa's on the right side of history.
Absolutely. And I really think that in 5 years, most people will look back and say, what was the big deal? You know, it will just be so accepted that gender identity is protected, and people hopefully will move past any kind of discriminatory instincts that they have and just and start treating people fairly and kindly, regardless of who they are.
So how does it feel to win a historic case?
It feels really good. It's so important to be working on these cutting-edge issues and moving the law forward. And we had 100% confidence that we were right and that the law would be on our side from the beginning. It was a long haul. It was 2 years of litigating it before we finally got in front of a jury. And we were confident the whole way through. It's just a matter of getting to that jury and getting the result that we knew we were entitled to. And so, of course, Mr. Vrew was just a hero throughout the whole process. And I'm just so honored to be able to work with my colleagues at the ACLU. They're brilliant. And without them and the support that the public gives the ACLU, we wouldn't be able to make these steps in furthering the civil rights of people who really need it.
Did you feel there was one argument that you made that was the most compelling or convincing to the jury?
I think the jury understood what Mr. Vrew had gone through. And certainly one of the ways we put this is, you know, if you don't let a transgender person use the restroom that conforms with their gender identity, it's no different than putting a sign on the restroom door that says no transgender people allowed. And I think putting it in a very concrete way like that is something that people can understand, because in our history we've dealt with that same issue in other categories of people who are protected under the law, whether it's race or gender or disability or anything like that. This is no different. And I think the jury really understood that.
So do you think their verdict reflects a changing views on these issues here in Iowa, or do you think it was just kind of a literal interpretation of what was already law?
No, I actually think this really was a symbol of the progress we're making in individual rights. And one of the clues I had to that, which surprised me, was in the jury selection process. You know, we have a pool of jurors from the Polk County area that we're questioning, and I asked a lot of questions about their knowledge of transgender issues. And I think out of the first 22 people I questioned, 6 of them had personal experience with either family members or friends or coworkers who were transgender. And so that really surprised me. I thought we'd have to start from scratch on these issues, but we didn't. They had extensive experience already, and they were very open about talking about their support for their friends and family members that had dealt with gender identity issues and who were transgender. And it was just such a joy to hear that people are already familiar with the issue and supportive of these people who otherwise are going through a very difficult time.
It's really interesting to hear.
Yeah, it was a surprise.
So there must have been some sort of celebration after this. What did Mr. Vrew say to you about the victory?
He was just thrilled. He was thrilled.
Thank you so much for your time. And that was Melissa Hasso, the American Civil Liberties Union cooperating attorney in this case, with the Sherinian and Hasso Law Firm.